You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
According to data from the Energy Information Administration, by the Monday of Thanksgiving week, that's 25 days from now, there will be no more diesel. So what's going to happen then? Well, everything will stop. That means trucks and trains and barges all unable to move. Farm equipment will shut down. There will be no deliveries because there will be no trucks. There will be no diesel generators. And then, inevitably, our economy will crash because everything runs on diesel fuel. Not on solar panels, not on wind farms, on diesel fuel. Diesel is not a negotiable commodity. You have to have diesel.
This should be a wake-up call, and the alarm has been sounding for some time, being ignored. This is October 28, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com right now. I know many more and more of you have been doing so, either watching us live or later going back to the Rumble post we put up and watch them at your pleasure. And, of course, remember, you can get the audio always at LarryConnorsUSA.com. That was Tucker Carlson attacking the issue that I've been watching for the last week, 2 weeks or more, because I've been seeing hints and more hints of information about we might have a real big issue, not with gas prices, but diesel fuel. Diesel fuel, according as you heard Tucker Carlson say, the latest numbers from the U.S. Energy Department suggesting we might have maybe 25 days of diesel fuel left. That's in the U.S., in our country. You get to Europe, the situation is even more dire. And in Europe, just like it does here in the U.S. of A., diesel is valuable. Trucks, trains, cargo ships, things of this nature. You can't run those on regular gas. And we have been watching this develop. And the Biden administration, the guys who should be at the bridge watching all of this, have just been, what, asleep at the wheel or indifferent? Or do they just don't care? Do they want you to suffer more? I mean, we have all of this stuff shut down. I'm not trying to frighten you, but if all of the diesel fuel is gone in 25 days or less, we are facing a major disaster for our economy. But Biden's still claiming, oh, the gas prices are better now than when I took office. Two letters I would use. Maybe put it this way. I have a Bachelor of Science degree, a BS. You got the two letters. Oh, you got it. Never mind. You don't need me to go through it over and over again. It wasn't as if by delaying in my reporting on it, I thought it was going to be solved. There are just so many other issues in front of us that were pressing at the time, the debates and everything else wrapped around them. But again, I wasn't counting on the Biden administration to be aware of it and be doing anything anyway, but I also was watching a lot of different net reports and so forth, and no one is really making that much noise about it. And I thought, well, maybe I've got the wrong handle on it. But everything I kept reading and pulling up indicated this could be coming. And last week, I almost started to do something. I thought, let's wait and see how it shakes out. There might still be another piece of this puzzle I don't know yet. Right now, I don't see that piece of the puzzle. We're going to get into that in more detail as we move through the next 2 hours. I want to make sure that you let your family and friends know we're on the air, and this story is paramount. As every day we do on here, we bring you stories and different perspectives that you don't get anywhere else. There is no other radio show like this anywhere. We're also going to look at Elon Musk taking over, and suddenly Twitter is all a Twitter. My God, what is he going to do? Well, he says he's going to make it more fair. Those of you who've been banned from Twitter might be back on. That could include President Trump if he wants to go back. But then he's already been firing big names, but they don't really care. They got such big severance packages, you will choke just trying to get the words out. I'll have that for you. We're going to be joined by Dr. Jay Richards with Heritage Foundation, Daily Signal, how the White House at Biden's administration continues to push sex surgery for kids. England's fighting against the trend. We want to get into that again in more detail today. Plus, I've got a heartbreaking story of an incest victim. These are one of those cases you say, okay, they should be allowed to have an abortion. This incest victim wanted to keep her baby, and her tragedy became a bigger tragedy. A lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. What else?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So let's talk about exactly what RSV is. These are the symptoms. I want parents to be aware of them. Usually fall and winter. It's like a common cold, but it does hit younger children, and it's really frightening. It's not new at all, something we've seen before. But, you know, infants as young as 6 months old have been known to contract this. So, you know, it's hard to keep kids safe. You know,
it is hard to keep kids safe because they're subject to almost anything. Their immune system still developing. That is New York Governor Hochul, who, of course, is hoping to have another term. I don't know. Some of the latest numbers and indications are that Lee Zeldin might actually take that away from Hochul. And by God, if he does, that's going to be amazing. Becoming a red governor in mostly a blue state that is obviously, if he does, is looking more purple. Maybe I'm jumping ahead of the game a little bit, but let's just keep hoping. But here's Governor Hochul pointing out that we need to be concerned about RSV. That's respiratory virus diseases and so forth, flu, things of that nature. Your kids are obviously susceptible to it. Adults are susceptible. Symptoms, congestion, cough, runny nose, mucus, muscle aches, fever, things of that nature. We've all had some of that to some extent, and sometimes you're not sure if it's a flu or it is a respiratory virus that they're talking about. It's a legitimate concern. I'm not trying to put it down. Same as COVID. But here's my concern. Here's my concern. As we saw them weaponize COVID, I'm a little concerned that they might start to weaponize respiratory virus. Hochul is talking about we need to do everything we can to keep kids safe. Now here, she's going to say something, and she's trying to make it clear that You don't misunderstand what she's saying, but I want you to hear in between what she might actually be saying, the words that are unsaid. Listen.
It's hard to keep kids safe. You know, to think about the fact that a year ago, you know, before a year ago, a lot of kids were wearing masks in a daycare center or in schools, and that did give them some level of protection. We're not mandating this, but we're saying parents, you know, you got other kids, you got kids in school, preschool, and you got a baby at home. You really might just want to take these extra precautions. And by now, kids are more socialized to the idea of wearing a mask. It's not as strange to them. It's not as like, what is this all about? There's really cute masks out there. I've seen a lot of them. So that's something I'm encouraging all parents to consider.
There you go. Now, again, this is a decision for you and your family to make about your child. And if you have young kids in a day school and then they're coming home, you got a younger child at home, whatever you decide, whatever your family makeup is, this is your family decision, the parents' decision. She said, we're not going to mandate the mask for kids in daycare centers and things of that nature. That's what she said. I mean, I'm not going to put words in the woman's mouth. That's what she said. But I got to ask, what's going on back here and up here about maybe weaponizing this issue as well? Oh, Larry, you conspiracy theorist. Everything has to be built around how they did COVID, how they locked us down and wouldn't let us do this and that because of COVID, and you want to say they're going to do that with RSV? I'm not saying that. But when you look at the history of how they treated COVID, when we knew children were not that big of a risk shortly after we get into it, and even now they are still developing and presenting us with drugs, shots for kids down to 5 or 6 months old, and yet the death rate of kids among COVID, unless they have some critical issue, some morbidity issue, is at the best 0.0003. That is from age birth, basically, to 18 years. RSV is not considered a killer, but again, it's like anything else you get. If you don't treat it, you don't take care of it, it can be worse, and for children in particular. A high fever, generally not considered to be a killer, but when you're younger and you're not hydrated properly, it can lead to troubles for babies. If nothing else, leading to some mental problems go down the road and brain issues and heart issues. I mean, I'm not a pediatrician, but I'm telling you, going and raising two children, as many of you probably raised your own, you're encountering things from time to time. You're thinking, I didn't know that was that bad. Yeah, it is. What she said, though, is we're not mandating that you do this. Contrast that to where the latest guidelines from the CDC are regarding shots for kids to go to school. It's a recommendation from the CDC. But we already know several school districts in blue states, counties, cities, or just a blue school district will decide, you know, we're going to follow the CDC recommendation. Your child's not going to be allowed in school unless they have a COVID vaccine shot. Back to the issue of RSV, respiratory virus that affects the breathing, the coughing, and muscle and fever and things of that nature. She said we're not going to mandate it, but then she said, but you got to keep in mind, hey, look, I mean, kids are used to masks now. They're used to wearing them. They're used to seeing them. There's some really cute ones out there. You know, maybe pictures of Big Bird or something on them, or maybe their name on it, or smiley face, butterflies, whatever. There's some cute masks. In other words, the kids are already accustomed, so maybe we just kind of, we've already trained them to accept the mask. Let's go to the fact, this frightening part of her statement.
By now, kids are more socialized to the idea of wearing a mask. It's not as strange to them. It's not as like, what is this all about? There's really cute masks out there. I've seen a lot of them. So that's something I'm encouraging all parents to consider.
Yeah, consider. Your kids are used to the mask. What she's not telling you to consider is how bad our education rate tumbled during the time kids were masked, especially young kids. If they're in the process of trying to learn anything, they can't catch facial expressions, they can't hear properly, their learning curve went way down, and not just in preschool, but even earlier grades, like elementary beyond preschool, and above that. What I'm hearing, maybe this is just me, maybe you have a different view, but what I'm hearing is one step removed from ordering kids, because RSV is sweeping through the nation, ordering the kids must be masked. And you can't mask the kids if you don't mask the adults. Oh, and we're going to need a new drug or a shot for RSV. All right, maybe I've just been wandering around too long with a bottle of Jack. I don't know. You decide, but I want to call it to your attention now. We'll wait and see where the next steps go. But I did fire the alarm, right? I did shoot the shot across the bow. Just a wake-up call. Which I should have done previously, reference a diesel story that we're going to talk about in more detail the next hour. And there's a piece that came out that happened the other day that, again, I had so many things going on, I just didn't have time to focus on it. But, again, this fits with what I just presented, reference kids already used to mask. They'll accept it. They will accept it. We train them. They will accept it. We train the public to just follow what we say. When we say follow the science, we really mean follow Dr. Fake and whatever he decides is a science. And when we say you have to also worry about all this climate in this world, and of course I'm worried about our climate, and I want our world to be safe, environmentally safe. But now there's a new target. It involves part of what they've already been after anyway. You know they want to get rid of all fossil fuel. No fossil fuel. No oil, no gas. No coal. Now, of course, our electric grid, 70%+ of it, relies upon coal-fired plants. We have nuclear energy. We have turbines, hydroelectric energy. And, of course, we have the wind turbines. And we have the solar panels, all of this stuff. But is not enough to make up for what we have, and if everybody gets an electric car like they want you to, assuming you can, that grid will go right down, just like your battery on your phone. And where are you going to plug it in and get that ready to go? And now diesel is an entirely different thing. Diesel cannot be replicated. None of those things I identified will fill in for our shortage of diesel, which is now predicted to be, we will be out in this nation by Thanksgiving. But here comes the administration. They've already looked to handle this one. We're going to make the environment safer. We're going to go push more green plan with a $1 billion. Now, reading the numbers to make sure I don't make a mistake. $1 billion on electric school buses. That will make kids safer. I watched an NBC News Now anchor, and I'm telling you, the way she was just so excited and giddy about it, I thought, you know, that woman... Well, I wasn't sure how her body functions were going to hold up because she was just so excited. Listen.
I'm very excited to get to talk to you about what was just unveiled. It's the fact that the Biden administration will provide nearly $1 billion in grants for clean school buses. This includes low emission electric buses. Walk us through this, because we know that electric cars generally could be huge in reducing our emissions. They are very expensive, though. Maybe for the average person, not necessarily something that they can purchase at this point. But talk us through what a difference it will make if buses across the country are this way in terms of emissions and also for children's health.
Oh, my God. Isn't it exciting? And she admitted electric cars, well, you know, that might not be good for the average people. The average people? That means those below that are suffering even more. We're going to make you suffer. We're going to make you suffer and suffer and suffer. And here's another one. But here comes Michael Reagan, EPA administrator, Oh, yes, electric school buses. Here we go.
And this is amazing. Close to $5 billion over 5 years will be dedicated to electrifying our yellow school buses. Think about our most precious cargo going to and from school every day. Yes, this is good for our children. It will lower the diesel emissions that come from school buses. It will be great for the school bus drivers that are transporting our kids to school each and every day. It'll also be good for our teachers who are assigned to do bus duty. So we're looking at emission reductions for the planet, health benefits, as well as American manufacturing. This is a win-win-win, and we're really, really, really excited about it.
And it's also a lose-lose-lose. Now, I want you to hear VP Harris, who's all, and now you heard him say $5 billion. He's talking about the entire project. I was just talking about $1 billion to get it started, but he said $5 billion. But VP Harris is also all excited about electric school buses.
I have a particular fondness, I must tell you, for electric school buses. I love electric school buses. On a daily basis, 25 million children in our country every day go to school on those diesel-fueled school buses. And hundreds, thousands of school bus drivers are driving those buses, which are then these people, these children, these adults, are inhaling what is toxic air.
Yeah, see? There's your reason. Let's go all electric school buses and electric cars. I don't know how they're going to come up with electric trucks to pull the weight they need, or electric boats, and I don't know about flying an electric plane, but they don't have to worry about diesel at the rate we're going, because as we'll examine more in the next hour, we could be out of diesel fuel in 25 days or less. We'll get into that coming up, but in the meantime, Musk moves in on Twitter, and Twitter is a Twitter.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Freebird. Elon Musk has officially taken over control of Twitter, ending months of legal disputes with a $44 billion check he cut. He is bringing big changes on day one. He fired the social media giant's top three executives, who were reportedly escorted out of the building. What's the first thing he's got to do?
Well, he's going to talk to the employees today. And probably reiterate about how this is going to be an open platform. He's also got to reassure advertisers that he's not going to destroy the site, that it is truly going to be neutral in terms of opinions on it, and not have the kind of blatant censorship he had with the previous executives. And no need to feel sorry for those previous executives unceremoniously left or escorted out of the building. The CEO gets a $42 million payout.
Right.
The CFO gets $25 million. Jack Dorsey, who founded it, gets $1 billion in cash.
Wow. I think they're going to be happy. Oh, all those underlings, all those people that work under them, I don't know what they're getting, but those at the top, they come out on top. They start there and they finish there. Musk, of course, offered to buy it, then backed off. And part of the claim at that time was that you're lying about how many people are actually on Twitter. You've got bots, that's electronic machines and things, computers that are putting out posts, and you're manufacturing numbers that don't exist. And I'm not going to pay for all the fake followers you have, because I got to sell advertising dollars off it. Which those advertisers been on Twitter should have immediately started saying, hey, we want some proof, or we want some money back, because if Musk is correct, you've been fiscally raping us. Well, finally, Musk decided we're going to go through with it. And he walked into their Twitter headquarters the other day carrying a kitchen sink. I'm taking everything and the sink. And now he's got it. Now, what's he going to do with it? Musk is the new owner of Twitter and is saying, quote, he will be digging in more today on claims that show shadow banning and follower manipulation. Those who are on Twitter, I am, at Larry Connors USA, as of course you would know. I've also been on Parler, which has never really caught fire, and I'm even on Trump's trust, but it's, again, it's just not firing up yet. Not effectively, maybe put it that way. This might take Parler and Trump's thing right off the map if Musk actually goes through, because so many left Twitter of their own choice because of the way things are going, or they were kicked off because of what they would say. I would get, I don't know, I probably haven't had that many notices from Twitter that, be careful, better got what you're saying. YouTube was pushing me more than that, and I think Facebook a couple times, but for the most part, I've been able to get by with pretty much what I put up on Twitter. Twitter has denied that it's shadow banning accounts. Well, we know that's a lie. They have been doing it. And they describe that as deliberately making someone's content undiscoverable to everyone except the person who posted it, unknown to you if you posted it. In other words, you thought everybody's going to see it? No. Now, they have a position now where you could go in and you could select you what all the public, certain people only that are on your Twitter account as well, or just the specific person. In other words, like it's a direct email. I use that part occasionally when I'm reaching out to someone via their Twitter handle to line them up as a guest. Had one I was trying to reach today. I don't know if they got the message or not. But the bottom line is, those are all acceptable if you know that you're making the choice. But it's not acceptable if I put it out and I realize it's not going out to everybody. And the numbers I had suddenly get wiped out. My followers suddenly disappear. Musk said back in April, he believes free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy. And Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. I don't know necessarily they're debated, but it's at least a free fair. It's like you get up on a soapbox at the center square, and you're allowed to make your statement. But Twitter comes along, knocks you off the soapbox, turns it over, gives it to someone else. And you're not allowed to get on the soapbox again. We'll see if how Musk handles it going forward. Coming up, we're going to take some time to go back over again how the UK is treating transgender kids or kids that are confused about their gender identity, as opposed to how the U.S., American Medical Association, American Pediatric Association are doing it. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me share something I got from one of the listeners, Mark Beck, and I use the name because he's on one of my Facebook outlets. I think this was from Larry Connors USA. If you send me an email, unless you give me permission to use your full name, I will never do that because my email is not seen by the general public. But when you put it on Facebook, your name goes there and everyone else can see it. So I want to point out what Mark Beck, listener, wrote. He said, we live in a world where a sitting U.S. president, Biden, is saying, quote, let children transition to the gender of their choice, while a left-leaning children's author, J.K. Rowling, is saying, let's pump the brakes here. And guess who's taking heat for their stance? Sadly, is not Biden. He's correct. And that brings me to our guest I want to introduce to you, Jay Richards, director of the DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family with the Heritage Foundation. Jay, glad to have you with us, sir.
Oh, good to be with you.
I'm looking at a piece that, you're also with the Daily Signal, but I'm looking at a piece also written by a Daily Caller writer. I'm looking at other pieces, British NIH report the other day. And I pointed out to my audience previously that now the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics are saying, if kids are feeling uncertain about their gender, let's go ahead and help them get gender puberty blocking drugs and maybe even surgery. What is wrong here?
That's right. Well, what's wrong is that we have ideological capture by a number of prominent organizations in the U.S. that claim to speak for medicine and science. So the American Academy of Pediatrics claims to speak for the tens of thousands of pediatricians in the country, but they haven't polled them. They haven't done a careful research analysis.
Well, who writes the information and says this is what we stand for? And why don't we hear the pediatricians and others yelling back?
Well, this is the problem, is that what so-called gender-affirming care, what that really means is puberty blockers followed by cross-sex hormones followed by sterilizing surgery, is the preferred treatment for gender dysphoria by gender ideologues who think that children can be born in the wrong body. And it's so prevalent, I mean, it's prevalent enough that the President of the United States is preaching this stuff, that the many pediatricians that disagree are afraid for their careers. Many of them in some states could actually have their licenses removed for repudiating or disagreeing on this point. What's weird about it is that while the U.S. and the organizations and the U.S. president are going full steam ahead, the National Health Service in the U.K. is actually, they're following J.K. Rowling effectively. What they're really following is the science and saying, okay, look, there is a massive explosion of kids presenting with these symptoms, and we're fast-tracking them to sterilization when before this craze started, most kids that had gender dysphoria, if you let them go through puberty, actually grew out of it. And so the NHS in the U.K. is finally waking up and saying, okay, we started this process earlier than the U.S., and we're going to now put the brakes on it. That's huge.
Well, we have constantly pointed out on this program what adolescent is not comfortable with their body at some point.
Seriously. I mean, this is the problem. Just the very idea that you could teach a child that he or she might be born in the wrong body. I mean, first of all, what does that mean? That is he this, like, this is this disembodied soul that got trapped in a body and God had some other body somewhere else that he's hiding? I mean, it's not even clear what this means because, of course, we're this kind of unity of spirit and matter. And so we don't have another body. And so what you want is to help kids become comfortable with the bodies that they actually have. We would never teach an anorexic girl, well, you were just born in the wrong body, you know, or you were born in a fat body. You'd help her to become comfortable with the body she actually has. But not when it comes to the gender ideology. We say, okay, well, your true self is this psychological self, this secret gender identity you have in your head. And if it's discordant with your body in some way, then the treatment supposedly is let's fill you with drugs and scalpel to transform your body to conform to this internal image. It's really just craziness. I think 10 years from now, we'll realize we are in the middle of some kind of weird cultural hysteria.
Yeah, but unfortunately, 10 years from now, some of these children that have been mutilated because they were allowed to go through with it and doctors took part in it will say, and in fact, I've already seen reports. I think there's one known as Chloe Klo or whatever. She was is now a man, and she says, I regret it. I'd like to have my breasts back. I don't know if I'll still be able to have a baby. She has a womb. They didn't take that out. And she's saying, but the transgender community now who embraced me now shuns me, doesn't want anything to do with me because I'm speaking out about the dangers and the suicidal and tendencies that come even if you have it, when we're told if you don't do it, the kid might be suicidal.
That's right. I mean, Chloe is, she's called herself the sort of canary in the coal mine because she, as you said, so she had started taking testosterone as a pretty young teenager for several years, had her breasts removed. Fortunately, she stopped the testosterone and it didn't go any farther. And so she'll never be able to breastfeed, but hopefully she'll be able to have children if she wants to. But she's one of a growing number of very articulate detransitioners. These are kids that start down the process and then realize they've made a terrible mistake. Now, you're right. It may be that 10 years from now, the way this ends is these pediatric gender clinics get sued to oblivion in class action lawsuits by these detransitioners. My goal as a policy person is I'd really like to stop this before we get to that.
Yeah, and my concern is the kids, not so much the pediatricians. But before I leave, there's one thing I do want to get into, and I've recognized that, and I've told my audience, look, if a child truly is that confused, not just doing, oh, it's trending, we're all doing it. If they truly are that unsure of their body and everything else, they do need prayer and help. And so I don't want to dismiss and mock it, but I have a problem with these guys rushing at a 15-minute consultation. Okay, we'll put you on puberty-blocking drugs.
Exactly. That, for me, I mean, look, kids are struggling for all sorts of reasons. They are victims here. And, in fact, I think many of the parents get blindsided, right, even though they're going along. They're the victims. But, frankly, I'm sorry, even if you're a pediatrician and you've been told this, you are a professional and you have a responsibility to look at the evidence for what's actually happening and to stand up. And we need more people in the profession to just do the brave, difficult thing.
Help the child where they are, not necessarily what they want, but what's going to be truly best. All right. Now, I had a guest on yesterday, and she wrote a piece for The Federalist talking about how some of these LGBTQ groups, and not all of them, because a lot of them want to shun away from this, that they're now offering rides and cash to get you to a state where you can, even without parental permission, get a blockers and or surgery if you want. I mean, there are those that are looking to make money and are preying off of these children.
Absolutely. And in fact, California, I mean, California under Governor Newsom has now made itself an actual magnet for this. And so if a kid, you can be 15 years old, if you can get to the state of California, a court in California will take temporary custody of you so that your parents in Arkansas or Missouri, whatever they think, they don't have any say. And now that child can go get cross-sex hormones and even, believe it or not, cross-sex surgery. They can find a doctor to do it against their parents' wishes, and California is now creating an incentive for kids that want to do this, that are troubled, to just literally run away from their parents and come to California. I mean, it's really absolutely outrageous.
All right, let's deal with California, you know, and other blue states and the blue mindset through COVID. Follow the science, they said, over and over again. The England National Health Service, as you well know, said that the problem is we need to restrict this because, quote, due to scarce and inconclusive evidence to support clinical decision making. And as you said earlier, give the kid long enough, they'll outgrow it. They'll decide, I don't want to do it. Like, you know, kid wants to smoke, all the cool kids are smoking, and that's why I don't like it. I don't want to do it anymore.
Yes, that's what's amazing. I mean, a lot of us have been saying this for a long time, that we know, look, the DSM-4 and 5, the relevant book, manual for psychiatry, has said the vast majority of kids that have this before puberty will grow out of it as long as they're just sort of, you know, parents are careful and they have counseling. They go through puberty. If you're a boy, you get washed with testosterone. And for most of them, they work their way out of it. What we have now, though, is if kids get put on this pathway, the vast majority, they go ahead and go all the way to the end. And so now to have the NHS say, look, for a lot of these kids, it's a phase, and it ought to be treated as that. They're finally coming around to what the critics have been saying for years, but it's really important because the UK was at the very forefront in doing these kinds of interventions. Same thing in Finland and Sweden. They're saying basically the same thing.
Which, again,
and
you
so
thought...
So what we're doing, we're actually behind... Yeah, we're behind the curve.
You thought they would have been more liberal. In the last 30 seconds, and you mentioned the NHS calling for gender-affirming care, not to Joe, but very in the last 30 seconds, your response to Joe Biden saying it's immoral to ban sex change operations for children.
Well, he's just absolutely outrageously wrong. I can't imagine why he would say that. I do say the silver lining is that he's saying something so ridiculous right before the midterm elections. I think he may regret it.
If there's any silver lining, that'd be it. Jay Richards, thank you very much for joining us, sir. We'll do it again.
Yeah, anytime.
You bet. Jay Richards with Heritage Foundation. And he's right. UK is way ahead of what we're doing here in the States. Coming up, they're still trying to make excuses for Fetterman and how he handled himself in the debate. And one of the responses is predictable, but still wacko. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea, unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to bring something to your attention I didn't have time to do earlier, and this actually I had to give credit again to my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, always doing research for me. He was looking at an analysis of the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, an interim report submitted October 2022, and he said, I started looking through this a little closer. Andrew, you got too much time on your hands, but I'm glad you did. And you should look at what happened on page 4, bottom paragraph, reference the introduction about COVID. I'm going to read through this kind of quickly, but basically, while the precedent of previous outbreaks of human infections from contact from animals favors the hypothesis that a natural zoonotic spillover is responsible for the origin of SARS-CoV-2, so forth, and then leading to the COVID-19 pandemic, that was all most likely the research-related incident that it was just a spillover. The conclusion is not intended to be, they say, dispositive. I assume they meant what they said. But they add the lack of transparency from government and public health officials with respect prevents reaching a more definitive conclusion. In other words, they continue to just push this stuff around, claiming all the time is probably out of the wet markets, remember? And they then add, should additional information be publicly available and subject to independent verification, it's possible these conclusions would be subject to review and reconsideration. In other words, back to the Wuhan lab, that's where it originated, not the wet markets. That was October 2022, which just came out with the Senate Committee on Health Education, and it just kind of got buried in that bottom part of that paragraph. But thanks for finding it. It just reaffirms to many of us what's going on. And by the way, the city of Shanghai yesterday, or earlier this week, I should say, began dispensing aerosized booster shots for China trying to deal with their coronavirus. They think spraying it in the air for someone, or kind of like a nose spray for you, would be able to breathe deeply from a cloud of medicated gas. And what they say is kind of looking like a sippy cup, that it will help get rid of the virus a lot faster. Get your sippy cup. That could be the next thing coming. All right. I mentioned earlier that this pitiful debate that Fetterman had the other day with Dr. Oz, and it is worth noting that you'll see the state-controlled press call him Mr. Oz. He is a doctor. He is a surgeon, retired surgeon, cardiothoracic surgeon, I believe, but definitely a surgeon. But they just don't give him the title doctor. They'd rather call him Mr. because they don't want to make that look at that important and smart. But when it comes to Jill Biden, the first lady, it's always Dr. Biden. She has a doctorate in education. There's a big difference. But anyway, I'm looking at some of these comments, like Joy Reid of MSNBC said, reference the debate and how he did. He said, I felt it actually made Fetterman look better and more like, because I have the guts to get out of here. And she said he's improving. But he had the guts to stand up against Mr. Oz. They're trying to find anything they can to make Fetterman look better. Well, he did criticize Hillary Clinton's pledge to throw the coal industry out of business. I mean, at one point he said any criticism of her saying that was unfair and it was taken out of context. that's what he wanted everyone to believe, that while he was going along with Hillary Clinton, he said, to say get rid of the coal industry, that was taken out of context. The exact quote was, we're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business. John Fetterman has made that same pledge. But he said, well, but her remarks were taken out of context. No, they weren't. And as soon as she said it, he said, I would be proud to be at the tip of that spear. That's what he said in 2018. What did he say the other day on the stage over and over? I'm for fracking. I'm for fracking. I stand with fracking. Yes, I'm for fracking. I'm for fracking. And here's, out of Aussie land, comes word that we should all respond to. 6 in 10 Australians believe elite sporting codes are, quote, too politically correct. And down under, they don't like dealing with woke athletes and management and say, basically, they want to get rid of all of these things in the game, in everything from cricket and netball and everything else. They're too politically correct. In other words, put all that stuff aside, play the game. Is that what most of us say? I talk to people still that are not watching football still, and they're not watching baseball. My brother's a big Houston Astros fan. They're in the World Series. I don't think he's watched a game all season. I'm not sure he's going to watch now. It all goes back to that political wokeness that was put in everybody's face after game after game after game. Finally, they're getting away from it. Coming up in the next hour, are we within 20 to 25 days of running out of diesel fuel in this nation? And what will that do for our economy?